Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Luke. We're nearing the end of Jesus' time and his teachings. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one on your right hand and one on your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, James and John kind of get a bad rap right here. I mean, they have been good disciples. We know earlier in Mark that they left everything. They walked away from the boat and their dad, and they followed him. And they've been following him now for quite a long time. They have heard him teach. They have spent day and night with him. And yet, you know, here they are. What are they asking for? To be most honored. One on his left hand and one on his right when Jesus would come into his glory. That's all they want. Now, Jesus sounds just a little bit miffed. Just a teensy bit when he responds, "Can you drink the cup? Can you be baptized?" With all the implications of what my baptism means, and they respond, "We are able." I wonder about the inflection. Was it confident, "Yes, we are able," or was it, "Oops, yes, we're able"? Maybe. I think so. I mean, Jesus responds with the fact that he can't choose who's going to sit on the right and the left. But what he says he can do is tell them how they can be great. He says that their greatness is dependent upon their ability to serve. For he himself came to serve all humanity, and that service, that very commitment itself, would be a ransom for everyone, a fulfillment for all. Jesus, after all, had turned his entire life over to God. Every minute of his life, he had turned over to God. "No longer my own, but thine," was his prayer. "All that I have, all that I am, all that I do, all that I hope for, everything that I've ever wished for is for you, God, because I belong to you. I surrender it all for your sake, for the sake of what you have imparted to me, for the sake of all those that I have come to teach, to serve, and ultimately to sacrifice for. No longer my own, but thine." James and John were bargaining for their own glory, their own reward. "When our days are finished, we want a special place in the kingdom," was what they were saying. They had lost sight, once again, of everything that he had taught them, and so he reminded them, as he always did, if you want to be first of all, you must be slave to all. Slave, that is a word that we would not use in almost any conversation that we would ever have, the word slave. The work of the kingdom is now, my brothers and sisters, and Jesus, as always, is saying, no surprise, we are to be servants to each other. The first scripture this morning was from James, from his letter. It is a quite famous scripture, and it caused a lot of problems in the church, because what it says is, even though I know I don't have to do anything, God, and I know you love me no matter what I do, oh, by the way, I'm supposed to do something. My faith must accompany, my life of faith must be accompanied by the works of the kingdom. And that faith without these works is dead. The James reading is a gift to Marge Cowie, who is leaving today to move to North Carolina. It is her favorite scripture. She told me that when I first got here. My favorite scripture is in James. Faith without works is dead, she told me. Marge Cowie and her family have been in this church over 50 years. And she loves this church about the same as she loves her children, because she loves this church like she loves her God. She has been on almost every committee, taught almost every class. She's been the United Methodist Women president. She comes to every function we have, every study we have. Outside the church, she has been reading to school children for almost as long as you've been at this church, haven't you? And one of the other things that she does in our stead, for us all, every week, is that she and Marilyn Devlin visit homebound people to make sure that they don't feel forgotten, and they share Christ's love with them. They have been doing this for years and years and years. Servant to all, giving of everything, her gifts, her graces. You heard she's giving her money and her time. Now, she isn't alone in this. There are some of the people here who have traveled this journey with her, and they are also saints of the church. They have been here for a very long time, and they have served in so many ways. They are the people who have sustained it. An entire generation of servants, people who knew that their calling was to come here and listen for the voice of God and what it was that they should be doing. I've known Marge now for almost 9 years, and it's been a real blessing. I'm always moved by how much service she dedicates to the church and to others. Her untiring willingness to help and to give. But there is something more than that that Marge has taught me, and I have been blessed to journey with her, and that is her gratitude. Because she never complains. It is not work that she does out of some sort of need to find the glory on the left or on the right, but because she does it with pure joy. She serves her God and she serves her church. She has been accepting of everything I've tried. Some of the things that worked and some of the things that didn't. But even when there's been a band and there's been sacred dance and there's been drama and there's been this and that and a new hymn and this, I can't tell you how many times she has come up to me after a service and said, "That was such a wonderful service." Never, where did that song come from? Can't we go back to the old stuff? No, she's always been looking forward. On the day that we voted to become a reconciling congregation, to be open and accepting to gay, lesbian, transgendered, and bisexual people, after the vote downstairs, Marge walked up to me and to our district superintendent, Young Suk Kong, and said to me, "Isn't this a wonderful day for our church?" always looking forward, never looking back, saying, you know, it used to be way better. There used to be lots more people. There used to be this. Never. Just a gratitude for where we are and who we are at this time in our life of faith. No longer my own, but thine. That is going to be our stewardship prayer. Today is the day we begin our stewardship, I don't like the word, campaign. It sounds like we need to all put on big metal vests and get a spear. But our stewardship prayer, the intentional time when we ask ourselves, what has God done for me and how might I respond in gratitude? How can we surrender our whole life to God? That is what Jesus did. He surrendered his entire life to God. The church is the work of Christ. It's an organizing body for doing the work of the kingdom. It's a place to pray and to sing and to listen and to heal and to learn and to be in community. It is not a place where we come and figure out if I'm going to sit on the left or the right. It's a place where we come to learn how to be the servant to all. When we discover Christ in our lives and in our work and in our giving, once we realize that Christ is acting like a worker in our one little acre of God's world, there is a responsibility that falls to us that says, what should I be doing? Who do I need to serve? How can I respond to this incredible blessing that is my life? Christ's activity in the world was and is to bear fruit. And we are the co-workers in that vineyard. If there is fruit to be grown, if there is fruit to bear, the gift we offer of our lives is nothing less than the work of redemption for a broken world. Christ calls us to this place so that we might be able to be emboldened, that we might embody the image of Christ in every single thing that we do. God is in need of co-workers. Always, God is calling us. And Christ calls us into this single identity of such value. You are my friend, Jesus said. You are my brother, you are my sister, you are my child, you are my co-worker. Can you imagine? That is not something simple. That is profound. You are my co-worker in all of this. The disciples, when they asked Jesus what to do, whatever they wanted, they still didn't understand that he had come to teach them how to say, what can I do for you? I am no longer my own, but thine. We are not going to say goodbye to Marge today, because that would be impossible. If you are here and you're sitting in a pew, you have been touched by her life and the life of many of these people here who are her contemporaries. The seeds that they've all planted, we are reaping. There is no way to possibly forget any of the people. The work of the kingdom is never forgotten because God breathes life into every single thing we do and into every single gift we bring. So, in the honor of all these people who have been the saints and who have helped to walk with God and leave to us this precious gift of God's church, we will be thinking about how we can dedicate our lives for the work of the transformation in the world by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And may each of us pray each day as we rise, no longer my own, but thine. Amen.